October 15th, 2010. We're here at the Buddhist Temple on Ruthven Avenue in Worcester, and they're installing an exhibit of relics, Buddhist relics. They're going to be on display this weekend. Also on the show today, Brendan Milliken, Jen Burt, and a lot of other people who I don't know. Can we ask you some questions about this?
Yes.
Hi, so I'm Mike.
Hi, Mike.
What, could you say your name?
I forget
your
last. Dakey Lee Oldershaw.
Nice to meet you. Tell us about this exhibit of relics here.
Okay, what we have here are the relics of Buddha Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha,
okay.
His disciples.
Okay.
Also some of the scholars, the great scholars that brought Buddhism from India,
mm-hmm.
from Nalanda into Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to some of the great masters that have taught and spread the Dharma, the teachings of Buddha in Tibet,
mm-hmm.
Right through to contemporary masters that
okay.
have been with us, and many Westerners have got, you know, received teaching from.
Yes.
So even contemporary masters are leaving relics that can help their students.
Can we go over and take a closer look?
Okay, yeah.
Or
come
people
on
wanna, people
at
want
this,
to.
At this point, we just have the one case out.
Right.
There's a wonderful phenomena in Buddhist tradition,
mm-hmm.
in that some of their masters and some traditions are cremated at the time that they make their transition. Buddha Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha, is one of those,
mm-hmm.
and was requested three times to leave relics as a way to bless the students and the benefactors and people in the future. So what we have here is called ring cell.
Okay.
That's a Tibetan word for like a spontaneous manifestation of the holy mind of that great master. So you can see it takes different forms. In this case, it's like jewel-like or pearl-like objects. In this case, crystal. When we bring this through, through X-ray in an airport, all these, no matter what they look like in front of you here, come through as crystal, the nature of crystal. So you can see different ways that this is manifest. The Buddha left many, many relics.
Okay.
Most important is it's done through compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that where the relics are, the mind of that master is, because by the time they reach this level of enlightenment, they're not confined to, you know, their minds can be here with the relics. They can be in a lot of other places as well. So many people feel a tremendous peace, and quite often a lot of healing can take place when people come into contact with the relics.
Where are these relics normally when they're not in Worcester?
When they're not here?
Yes.
These have been collected by a great teacher, one of the first teachers who brought Buddhism into the West, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, as part of a project of his master, Lama Yeshe, another great master that brought Tibetan Buddhism into the West. And different lamas, different abbots, different masters in different countries have offered these relics to the collection because it's traveling around the world. They've been to over 52 countries in the last 9 years and are continuously traveling. And over 1.5 million people have now been blessed in places where those people would never have the opportunity to go to India, you know, to be in the presence of something like this. As well, it's a wonderful sign of the times in that quite often when you pilgrimage to see a great statue or a pagoda or a monument, quite often it's got one of these relics in it. So people might pilgrimage for months just to be in the presence of one of these, and most likely they wouldn't be able to see them with the naked eye, whereas here they have the opportunity to see these relics directly and to get closer to them probably than they'd ever be able to if they went to the original countries where some of these were offered from.
How long are they here in Worcester for?
They're here Friday night, and we have an opening ceremony to begin with at 6 o'clock, and then a viewing, and then 10 o'clock till 7 o'clock on Tuesday, on Saturday, 10 o'clock till 5 on Sunday.
And then they're, and then they move on.
Then we move on.
So people need to come here this weekend.
Yeah, but our next stop is Ansonia, so it's not so far away.
Okay.
You know, if anyone wants a double hit.
Yes. Very good, very good. I want to thank you for showing this to us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's go talk to Venerable Mansheng. Hi.
Hi.
Venerable Mansheng, thanks for welcoming us to the temple here.
Yeah, it's most welcome.
Tell us, can you tell us about the community here?
The community here is largely comprised of Vietnamese immigrants, most of which came here through special asylum programs.
Okay.
And also through the efforts of the Buddhist community in concert with the Catholic charities. And so a lot of the people were part of the resettlement program. That's how this temple got started, basically.
Okay.
In the early years of this temple, the hall we're standing in now was not here. It was all backyard.
Okay.
On the other side of this wall was actually the back of a very small house.
Hmm.
And our main hall was the living room part, which was about maybe a third the size of this hall.
Mm-hmm.
Had the big Buddha statue in there, and you know, a few families crammed in.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday we would do, you know, our teachings and meditation and chanting.
Mm. And so this is a Vietnamese Buddhist. It's coming from a Vietnamese Buddhist tradition.
That's correct.
I also noted that there's a certain amount of it seems like Tibetan Buddhist things around. A few pictures of the Dalai Lama and.
It's because we're all from the same house, basically. It's just different rooms in the house, which really are part of the history of the Buddhist tradition and what keeps it alive, because originally this tradition originated in India with the Shakyamuni Buddha, who was a prince of the king of Magda, the realm of Magda. And it traveled after the passing of the Buddha when he achieved his parinibbana and went into other countries such as China, Mongolia, Tibet, Japan, Korea, the southern rim countries, you know, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Thailand, Burma, Laos, Cambodia. Anywhere that the trade routes could reach, Buddhism spread. Camels up in you know, the great deserts of Mongolia, and by ship, you know, through the southern rim countries, even onto the islands. So to have a representation here of all the various cultures that the tradition has passed through is, you know, precious to us. Because we are all sons and daughters or followers of the teachings of the Buddha.
And we're located here on 14 Ruthven Avenue?
It's number 16 Ruthven Avenue.
16 Ruthven Avenue, okay.
Just right off Gold Star Boulevard.
Okay.
On the West Boylston side of town. And as people come down Gold Star Boulevard, if they look for the great car dealership, the Har dealership across the street, and the Honeydew Donuts, we're sandwiched right in between where the big yellow house with the beautiful Kuan Yin statue in the front.
Okay. And so obviously people should come here this weekend to see the relics. If people are curious in general, what's a good time to come by? Is there any kind of open house or house for the, if they were curious to see what was going on here, when could they come by?
anytime, you know. We have our opening ceremony at 6 this evening.
Right.
And then Saturday from 10 until, I guess, about 5 or 6.
Right.
And then again on Sunday.
Right.
You know, they can come. Feel free to ask all the questions they want. Mm-hmm. And enjoy, you know, the ambiance here. Enjoy the relics. It's our hope and our wish that all who come here will receive the blessings of, you know, the realizations of our great masters,
yes.
No matter who they are or even what form they come in, because it's not just human, it's all living beings.
Did you want to ask a question?
No, I think you just covered it.
Okay.
Actually, you know, while we're just together still, I mean, could you just tell us a little bit about what we're looking at through the rest of the room? Obviously, the focus for the weekend are the relics here, but the room is incredibly impressive, and you said it's relatively new, or in addition to the original structure. So what exactly are we looking at throughout the room?
Well, throughout the room, in a nutshell, you're looking at the various manifestations of enlightened mind and activity. You're looking at aspects of your own nature.
Okay.
We call it Buddha nature. And all living beings have it. And what you see here represented in a symbolic fashion are all the various qualities of that enlightened nature. It represents the resplendent beauty and luminosity of that nature. That's why, you know, we bow to each other when we come in. It's in recognition. Why we put our hands together, it's in recognition of that very nature, not only in ourselves, but in the person we're bowing to. And when we bow to the statues and everything, what we're really doing is acknowledging those qualities within our own true nature, represented in symbolic form. Some people sometimes mistake it and think that we're worshiping statues, and we're not. What we're doing is acknowledging our true nature. And, you know, the symbols here represent the various qualities and the beauty of that nature.
Mm. Very good. Very good.
And you'll notice, too, we have a large drum and a large bell, because that nature also can manifest itself in sound as well as visually. Mm-hmm. Hearing the drum, you know, and the way that the drum is played can remind you of forces of nature, such as the cracking of lightning, the rolling of thunder. The bell, actually, when it's struck, is not only the sound and reverberation of that bell representing the power and energies within the earth itself, but most importantly, the silence that follows. It's that stillness, that silence, which is also in each and every one of us. That still point from which all the most beautiful expressions, either artistically, in song, dance, in writing and literature, it all comes out from that. And it's that beauty of recognizing how we are linked together, because we're not separated. We are never alone. We are always in the company of beings, even when we don't see them. Even the bacteria that exist in our gut, you know, this our very cells, we're never alone. We are always interconnected with all the beings.
Very interesting. Well, thank you for having us come here and tape
much.
And see these relics.
And may you receive the blessings this very moment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You two, let's go over here for a second, and we can do another little thing here.
So, we also incongruously have Jen on this week to talk about the Sodexo workers' strike.
Jen, you've been involved with the Sodexo stuff for a year or two now, right?
Yeah, about a year have formed, kind of.
And these are like the cafeteria workers at Clark.
Mm-hmm. So Clark subcontracts to Sodexo, which is a French-based company. They're one of the largest food service companies in the country. And so pretty much any of the food at Clark is coming from Sodexo workers.
Okay. I'm going to go over this way. Maybe we'll go over this way and we'll try to find a quieter spot.
Oh. Because we have the abbot here.
Oh.
So she could demonstrate, you know, the Buddha blessing, which everyone who comes will be receiving a blessing from the Buddha relic.
Sure.
Would you like to film that?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, do that.
Yeah. Do you want to receive a Buddha blessing?
Sure.
So they went on strike for a day. The cafeteria workers.
It's been kind of a long campaign and trying to meet with the administration. Both of Sodexo and Clark administration.
What's their next step?
I think we're going to see what Sodexo responds and how the Clark administration responds. And really, they're pushing for a national card check agreement. Okay. So this is part of a national campaign.
They've been striking everywhere. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe if we do it... And what we're going to do is... is going to bring you your actual she can bless you, and maybe she can bless you. So we've got a Westerner and a Vietnamese person. It's good to take your hat off for that.
Yeah.
So it's good to do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. This is the most unexpected show ever.
This is the first time on 508 it feels that we almost got it in over our heads.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Well, we have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else to say about the Sodexo?
Oh, wow. I'm still like processing.
All right. Still in the process. Brenda, do you have any top story of the week in our last couple of minutes?
I don't think so. I'm running empty right now.
All right. I just wanted to mention something completely incongruous in this setting, the In City Times. That it's worth checking out the In City Times blog this week. There's some interesting stories sort of following up on the whole Lou Evangelitis stuff. Anyway, yeah, so people should come here, 14 Ruthven Avenue. 14.
16.
16 Ruthven Avenue. There could be something great at 14 also. This weekend, Worcester Masters is the 15th, the 16th, and the 17th of August, 2010.
If you know where the Haar dealership is, and you know where the Gold Star Diner is, we're right between those two Worcester landmarks. So, yeah.
And you can come here and you can see relics of the Buddha, jewels that come from the cremated Buddha himself. Mm. Pretty impressive. Here, the Maitreya Project Heart Shrine Relics Tour. Mm. This is some good stuff, and some nice folks. So, thanks for watching, everybody. Jen, Brendan, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.